Good job, Dwight, and thank you very much for being here tonight. How often have you heard people say, maybe the claims that they make, to prove it? Prove it. You know, we all want proof, don't we? We hear a lot of things in a day's time, and much of the information that we garner is not proof of anything. It's just simply false doctrine. But proof of what you read in the Bible is established. We know that when we read the Word of God, there is no question about what God's Word really is. Paul the Apostle in the book of Romans chapter 1 said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 5, Paul admonished this young minister in this way. He says, but watch thou in all things. He said, endure affliction and do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of your ministry. You know, there are a lot of preachers today who claim to be evangelists, but they never evangelize. That's always been somewhat of a strange thing for me. People get up and preach that we ought to be evangelists and that in our own right, and that we ought to be trying to lead lost souls to Christ, and that really is what our role is as God's children. Solomon said that he that winneth souls is wise, and it is so true, isn't it? But we have a lot of people that do not evangelize. But Paul says to Timothy, you want to prove that you're a minister of the gospel and you want to prove that you're teaching the truth. He says, make full proof of your ministry. And that is exactly what we ought to do. But how can you make full proof of your ministry? Well, we say that we should prove all things, spiritually speaking, by the Bible, by the Word of God. In the book of 1 Thessalonians 5:21, the Apostle Paul says to prove all things and to hold to that which is good. And I heard a story one time about a young man and his girlfriend who had gone on a date, and they came in that evening and they were sitting in the living room. And the father came in, and when he came in, the young man was embracing the young girl, and he was holding her real tightly. And the father said, son, what are you doing? And he says, I'm trying to hold fast to that which is good. Well, you know, in life, certainly there's much, much more than that in actuality. There are a lot of wrong ways of proving your ministry, and I want to share some of those with you. First of all, assumptions, or assuming that it must be right, is not proof that it is right. For Jesus taught in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. That is the proof. Jesus said, don't just be hearers only, but be doers of the word. And if we're going to honor God, we have to be doers of the word as well. Someone said that action speaks louder than words, and it does. But don't assume that something is right until you know that it is right. We have a lot of people that have a religion of assumption today, and they believe just simply because they assume it, it makes it right. Or what about supposition? Acts chapter 2. You know, there are a lot of people that suppose certain things are right and doesn't mean that they're right at all. Or accusations. Sometimes people will bring accusations against the body of Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, and they always say, y'all think you're the only ones going to heaven. I had a lady one time and she told me she was an atheist and did not believe in God. And she said, I know I'm going to hell. And I said, I guess you think you're the only one going to hell. You know, we have so many assumptions in life and accusations. What about misrepresentations? Acts chapter 6. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is so misrepresented in many, many religious circles, and it is. But the right way of proving your ministry and holding fast to that which is good is the fact that we prove it. We test it. We examine it. Matter of fact, John, the beloved apostle, in the fourth chapter of that epistle that bears his name, in 1 John, that is, he says, "Brethren, try the spirits," or test them, "try the spirits whether they are of God." Now, how do you do that? Well, if you don't know the Word of God, and you don't read the Bible to find out what they're saying, then you don't know whether they're telling the truth or not. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 9, Christ teaches us to test it, to examine it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. And then we are to try the spirits. That means to examine them, to look at them and analyze. Is it really possible that what they're saying is consistent with the Word of God? And if it's not consistent, then we know it is not true. But where is the evidence, we say? You know, in a court of law, hearsay means nothing. It doesn't. Jesus said one time in the Sermon on the Mount, a matter of fact, several times he used this little expression, "You have heard it said, but I say unto you." That is, he was telling us that hearsay means very little in life, and it does. But we are to search for the evidence. If you were in a court of law, the only thing that they would give you would be to show the evidence of a crime that is committed. It is not based upon the fact that you don't like someone, or that perhaps you think that person might be capable of committing a crime, but they want evidence. We're to prove all things, Paul says, all things, not just some things. And that's why some people today in the religious world have advocated it's all right to amend the gospel as long as you hold to some of those core values, it's all right. But we don't have to hold to all of them. That's not exactly what God said, is it? Everything needs proof. It does. And when we talk about matters that are spiritual, the only authority, the only biblical authority is the Word of God. I was talking with a gentleman not long ago, and he was a member of a particular denomination, and I was asking him about their creed book. And I said, "Well, where do you come up with the authority to develop various creeds other than the Bible?" You know, the advocacy of those of us who have been members of the church for a long time is no creed but the Bible, but the Bible. And he says, "Well, you know, we kind of vote on things in our church, and if we want to amend the doctrine, we believe that we have the right to do that if we take a vote." Folks, the church is not a democracy. We don't vote on doctrine, but we accept doctrine for what it says. But many of us want proof for everything else except the Bible. But we ought to say to someone, you know, a lot of people ask me all the time, you know, "What do y'all believe in your church?" And I generally say, "About what?" I mean, that's kind of a big question to say, "What do you believe?" Well, I could tell them a lot of things, and then I question them and ask them, "Well, what do you teach? What do you believe?" And you wouldn't believe some of the erroneous doctrines that are being perpetrated in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We'd like to think that everybody that stands in a pulpit or preaches is preaching the gospel, but he's not. Much of it is like Pinocchio. You know, the nose grows. And the reason it does is because you're not telling the truth. You're not. And the true false meter registers false over and over and over again. Let me tell you quickly here tonight, too, about some wrong sources of proof. Okay? Think about these. Feelings. A lot of people say, "Well, I just feel it right here that it's okay." or I feel that it's all right. And so that seems to be justification for what people do religiously. They have done that with allowing women to stand in the pulpit and preach, or to wait on the Lord's table, or instrumental music to be brought into the church. Let's go back to the Bible and examine what the Word of God really says about issues like that. It is not based upon, it's not based upon feelings, and it's not based upon what your parents said, unless they went to the Bible and told you the Word of God. That's what the Word records Luke did in the book of Acts chapter 7. It is not based upon popularity, but a lot of people feel that if a particular doctrine, even though it's a man-made doctrine, is popular, it's all right. Well, I preach a doctrine many, many times that is not very popular, but it is true and it is steadfast. The conscience, by the way, is not a real proof or source to prove something, because your conscience can be defiled, and Paul even mentioned that. When he wrote to Timothy again, he spoke of those whose conscience had been seared, like you would take a hot iron and sear something. You could not pierce that seared conscience anymore. But a lot of people say, well, let your conscience be your guide. Well, you know what? If that conscience has been educated to the Word of God, that would be acceptable. But if it is not based upon biblical teaching, I wouldn't trust my conscience. I wouldn't. Others, what other people say. You know, a lot of times people follow each other in their religious belief or their spiritual life based upon what other people are doing. I've come to believe that very strongly. Now, these things cannot really be a source of biblical proof. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that. But the right source of biblical proof is the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, hold fast to that which is good, he said. Prove all things. Hold fast. That means to be in a relationship with God and treasure that relationship and make sure that you don't allow anything to come between you and God. And if any man speak, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, let him speak as oracles of God. You know what an oracle is? You know, people quote that scripture a lot. But an oracle actually is words, words of God. We can know the truth. I'm thankful that we don't have to live in a vague world when it comes to spiritual matters, but that we can know the truth. Christ said it in John 8 and 32, that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth, the Bible, is the very thing that enables us to know what God wants us to do. It's not based on your feelings. It's not based upon maybe some kind of religious experience you had. That's not the basis for it. But it is based upon the Bible, the truth of God's Word. And truth is essential to salvation. It is. You cannot be saved without biblical proof and without biblical truth. We must follow the teaching of Christ. It does not depend on a person. It doesn't. Or perhaps a body, a particular religious group, or a doctrine that has been devised by man instead of the doctrine that is devised by God. We must preach the gospel. That's what the church is hurting for in today's world. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, is not being taught. And the gospel of salvation, that people are sinners and that they are lost and estranged from God, and that the only way back to God is by being baptized and coming back to a relationship with our Father. That's why we must preach the gospel. When Paul was getting ready to die at the hands of Nero in Rome, he would write a letter to a young man named Timothy, and he would say unto him, think about it, of all the things he could have said. But he said, preach the word, Be instant or urgent in season and out of season. Rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Folks, I'm telling you today in the church, in a lot of places, they are not enduring sound doctrine. But they are teaching a doctrine that cannot be proven by the Bible. It just cannot. Some misuse the Bible. That's why Paul says to study to show thyself approved unto God. Strive to show yourself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And that just simply means don't bring the Old Testament into the New Law and try to blend them together and come up with some kind of doctrine. The Old Law is a dead letter, according to Colossians chapter 2. Paul said that Christ took the Old Law, nailed it to the cross, and the handwriting of ordinance, as it were, was against us. He did away with it. And the Old Law, by the way, as I've told you before, is found in the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Old Testament. When we read the book of Proverbs or the book of Psalms, that doesn't contain biblical laws that fall under the Old Law, even though those words were inspired of God as well. For in the book of 2 Peter, he said that our prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. And rightly dividing it. You've got to divide the Old Law from the New Law and make sure. Sometimes we misuse the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3, when Peter said that some people wrest the Scriptures, W-R-E-S-T, to their own destruction. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16 and following. And listen to what he writes here in this epistle. He says, and also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other Scriptures. Now what that word means, the word W-R-E-S-T, just means that they twist it and they turn it and they try to make it say something that it does not say. You know, have you ever heard people say, well, what makes you believe that baptism is an immersion? Well, I can tell you very plainly that the word baptizo is the word that is used in the Greek language, and it is used to establish that when one is baptized, he is lowered in water and brought up out of water. Water was not poured on his head. That's a man-made doctrine. Christening is a man-made doctrine. The idea of putting an infant through that traumatizing experience, the infant don't like it and God doesn't bless it because it's just not true. But the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now he says, they wrest the Scripture to their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, he said, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And that's easy to do. We can be led away if we don't know the Bible. You know, it used to be in churches of Christ that members of the body of Christ were actually referred to as walking Bibles. You know why they said that? It's because they knew the Word. They knew the Word. And they preached the Word. They taught the Word. They lived the Word of God. Marvel not at this, Jesus said in John 5 and 28, at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in their grave shall hear his voice. Believe it or not, there are some in our world today that believe not in a resurrection. They're kind of like the Sadducees of old. They don't believe there's going to be a resurrection. They believe that when you die, you're just dead all over and your spirit doesn't go to be with God like Paul actually taught. And they have perverted the doctrine of Christ. But there is going to be a resurrection. He said the hour is coming. in the which all that are in their graves will hear his voice. One of these days when you die and they lay your body to rest, or you're cremated or whatever happens to your remains, I can tell you, you will hear the voice of God. And the Bible said, they that are in the graves will hear his voice, and they will come forth. They will be raised. You'll either be raised to life eternal with God, or you'll be raised in the likeness of the demonic spirits who will rest their souls in hell forever and ever and ever. That, my friend, is the truth. There is no question about it. You and I must have a victory over Satan. And some misuse the Bible, as I have said. Satan does. We've been talking in our class how Satan changes the word of Jesus with just one word. God says, in the day unto Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat thereof, of the forbidden fruit, you shall surely die. And the devil told Eve, you're not going to die. He just used one word to change the whole sentence. Jesus was tempted by Satan himself. And people often misuse that temptation of Christ. Christ never succumbed to temptation at all. But the book of Hebrews chapter 4 says that he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And let me tell you something. Just as he tempted Jesus in Matthew 4 to turn stones into bread or other temptations, Satan used Scripture, and he uses Scripture today, but he twists it. He does that little thing of resting the Scripture to his own liking. And it was a misuse of what God actually said. We must hold fast to that which is good. That which is good is found in the Word of God, and it's called truth. It's called truth, and it will always be. For the book of Proverbs 23:23 says to buy the truth and sell it not. Don't ever get rid of it. Hold on to truth. And we should never be afraid. I've said it many times. We should never be afraid of where truth may lead us. Sometimes we all have preconceived ideas instead of allowing ourselves to be led by truth, by the word of Jehovah God. I'll say it again. We will be judged by the Bible, John 12:48. That's why it's such a key and why it's so important. I want to know why I'm going to be judged when I stand before my God in heaven. We must prove all things, and yes, hold fast to that which is good, and never, last of all, hold on to anything tighter than you're holding on to God. Don't, but hold on to him. He's the only hope you really have. He's the only hope I have. And I hope you can truly say tonight that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. There may be some things that are amiss in your life tonight. Maybe there's some ways that you have misused the Word of God unknowingly. Maybe your conscience is not what it ought to be. I hope tonight as you examine your life, and if you need to respond in a way to make sure that your life is right with Christ, I hope you'll do that even now while we stand and while we sing.